Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to our conference call, which we announced at short notice following the signing at the weekend of the agreement to purchase Chilean salt producer Sociedad Punta de Lobos, or to use the abbreviated form SPL. Together with my colleague Mr. Steiner, who led the negotiations over the past few months, and Mr. Mielke, Managing Director of ESCO European Salt Company, we want to provide you with an overview of SPL as well as set out the reasons that prompted the acquisition. After that, we will of course be available to answer any questions you may have. Exceptionally today, we have been linked up from different places, but that should not impact negatively on the conference. If it does, please accept our apologies. Now to the facts. Assuming a debt-free value for the company of US$480 million, K+S AG will acquire 99.3% of the shares for US$477 million. An offer to buy out the remaining minority shareholders will be made in due course. A squeeze out is not possible under Chilean law. The business is to be transferred with economic effect from the 1st of May 2006. The closing, meaning the actual transfer of the shares as well as the payment of the purchase price, will take place a little later as it requires cartel authority approval. We assume that it will be possible for the closing to still take place in the second quarter. Under IFRS, the first-time consolidation of SPL can only take place after the closing. Nevertheless, K+S is entitled to the contributions to earnings generated between the 1st of May and the closing date, but this will not affect net profit or loss. I would like now to provide you with a brief overview of SPL. SPL currently processes a production capacity of over 6 million tons. Most of the production takes place in the Chilean Atacama Desert, with a smaller part generated at a Brazilian sea salt facility. Production costs are very attractive, especially in the Atacama Desert, as the salt can be extracted in an open cast mine. The energy and personnel intensive underground extraction encountered at most competitors is not required. In addition, the availability of a port just a few kilometers away ensures cost-effective loading on own and chartered ships. This provides SPL with a rather unique free onboard cost position in the world, which should gain in relative importance over the coming years as energy costs continue to rise. As a result of the high purity of the salt extracted, SPL produces a complete product assortment for all conceivable needs. Currently, the main market are on the east coast of the United States and in South America. Operating earnings have developed very positively over the past 3 years, and the business has relatively high margins. 2005 profited from price increases and above average sales of de-icing salt. To sum it up, SPL is the leading salt producer in the Americas as a result of its attractive cost structure. The company enjoys an attractive logistical location to important overseas markets and displays a sustainable high earnings capacity with further opportunities for growth. This is something that we see not only in SPL's current markets, but in the future in the high growth Asian business too. At this point, I would like to stress that we view SPL as complementing our European ESCO business, and so it is exclusively an add-on. This will make K+S a global player in the worldwide salt business, not only in Europe, but also in the Americas. In the future, the Asian markets will also appear on our agenda. Now some data on the corporate structure. The part selling 99.3% of SPL is SMSA Holding, 70% of which is in turn owned by Prospecta and 30% by Citigroup. As was already mentioned, we intend to make an offer to buy out the owners of the remaining 0.7% of the shares in due course. The Sala Grande production site in Chile forms the core of the company. The distribution company ISCO is responsible for the important U.S. business, and the Diamante Branco sea salt facility serves the Brazilian market. In addition, SPL has its own shipping company, Empremar, which is responsible for coordinating logistics using its own and chartered ships. You can see the impressive dimensions of the Sala Grande from this chart. Covering an area of 500 square kilometers and with a depth of up to 100 meters, the salt reserves are sufficient for an inconceivably long period of time. SPL holds a concession for about 97% of this area. From this perspective, the immediate proximity of the port located just a few kilometers away from the extraction site becomes obvious. With deposit reserves almost inexhaustible, the port is currently the bottleneck for the approximately 6 million tons sold annually. That is why a start has already been made on expanding port capacity, and it should be completed next year. Initially, however, we will give priority to reduce demurrage charges over the expansion of production. This chart shows a simple but all the more effective value chain leading from extraction to loading on ships. The salt is extracted via terraces with holes for explosives drilled first. The salt is then collected after detonation, ground to the desired grain size, and transported by lorry to the port located nearby. It is then loaded onto ships. This process is very simple, hardly susceptible to disruptions, and thus extremely efficient. Here you can see an aerial photograph of the Brazilian Diamante Branco sea salt facility. The salt is extracted in ponds with a surface area of 23 square kilometers by means of evaporation and crystallization, and primarily sold in Brazil. Now let's take a look at SPL's markets. Accounting for almost three quarters of revenues, the United States is SPL's main market. South America, especially Chile and Brazil, account for the remaining revenues. We take a closer look at these two markets on the following two slides. When we talk about the United States as an important market, we mean A, the East Coast of the United States, and B, the icing salt. About 90% of the revenues in the United States are achieved with the icing salt, and SPL leads on cost compared with domestic producers in the relevant coastal regions. The lucrative de-icing salt business in the United States is less susceptible to fluctuations than Europe's because of weather conditions, and will thus stabilize the dependence of the K+S salt segment on weather conditions overall. In South America, SPL has a local presence with its own sea salt facility in Brazil and mainly supplies the chemical and other industries. In Chile, SPL occupies a strong market position and has conveniently located filling and logistics centers. Salobos is the leading consumer brand. We see many opportunities in South America for further enhancing SPL's market position, and we are, of course, looking intensively at the possibilities available to SPL in the high-growth Asian markets. I would now like to inform you about our integration concept. As the SPL business wholly complements the European business, ESCO and SPL will be managed as independent associated companies with strategic direction provided by an international coordinating body. The proven local management team at SPL will continue to exercise operational responsibility from Chile and will be supplemented by a few K+S employees in key positions. The decision is yet to be taken on whether SPL, which like K+S, also uses SAP as its corporate software, will be fully integrated within the K+S network. This slide shows should provide you with information about key financing data. We will use low interest rate investments of approximately 50 million euro for payment of the purchase price. Why isn't it more? Well, we will not use cash investments that offer a higher return than the sums that will be borrowed. In addition, we have negotiated borrowings in the form of a multi-currency syndicated revolving credit facility for up to 350 million euro. It is envisaged that one tranche will be repaid over the 3 years under a fixed repayment plan. The other tranche can, however, be used by us as a credit line for a maximum of 5 years. Thus, the credit facility can serve to finance the purchase price on the one hand and working capital on the other. Both tranches will attract variable interest based on Euribor on very favorable terms. The next slide provides you with a hypothetical overview of the joint structure of sales if SPL had already been acquired in 2005. It can be seen that the de-icing salt component would show an increase, while the weighting of table and industrial salt, as well as brine, would decline slightly. Please don't forget that because of the specific climate conditions, the American de-icing salt business is much less susceptible to fluctuations than Europe's. On the other hand, we will achieve better diversification with these two completely different regional and climatic markets and thus a more constant contribution to earnings overall. Finally, I would like to say that we at K+S are delighted that we were working together with our new colleagues at SPL to make the K+S salt segment even stronger. From now on, we will not just treat the potash business as a global, but also the salt business, which will be expanded further. SPL provides the necessary preconditions, an experienced and very strong management team, strong market positions, very cost-effective rock and sea salt production, attractively located sites from a logistical angle, as well as high earnings capacity and further growth potential. It's now up to us to develop the worldwide salt business into even better earnings positions. So let's get down to work. Mr. Steiner and I look forward to your questions now, including Mr. Mielke. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. There will be a short pause while participants register for a question. Thank you. The first question comes from Mr. Gunnar Kurz. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, Gunnar Kurz, Berenberg Bank. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thank you very much for this presentation. Answered already a couple of my questions, but still I have a few left. First of all, could you elaborate on the CapEx budget of SPL for the years to come? Secondly, Could you also maybe quantify synergies? I think probably operational-wise, there's a limited potential, but maybe financial in terms of financing and also in terms of hedging, maybe you have, there are some synergies you can raise. And then the acquisition price, I believe, as I understood it correctly, it's an enterprise value, so you're not going to take over any further debt of SPL. Is that correct?
Mr. Kort?
Yep.
I'm trying to answer your question.
Okay.
I have a big echo here in my telephone.
Yeah, me too. I'm afraid, but I have here just a handy. I cannot really do hear anything else, I think.
Okay, so we will make the best out of it, at least. I start with the latest question pertaining to 480. This is the enterprise value for 100% SPL.
Okay.
As we only are able to acquire 99.3%, it will be reduced to 477. But this is on a debt-free basis. So we will, of course, deduct the debt which is in the company. And to give you an impression on that, it varies, of course, throughout the year. We will have an interim balance sheet as of April 30, the date where we take over financial responsibility as from May 1st. And I don't have any assumption on how it will look on the 30th of April, but I would not be astonished if we would have then a deduction between 30 and 50 million from the 480.
Okay.
Okay. Now, number two question, to go further to your starting point, was pertaining to synergies. As you have seen from the presentation from Dr. Bethke, we have two different entities, ESCO, so far concentrated on Europe, and SPL, very successful in North and South America with a view to Asia. From the operational standpoint, there are therefore no synergies which we can see so far. But on the other hand, we can imagine that from a financing standpoint, to integrate the company in our group financing system, they have not so far been working on hedging strategies where we, as you know, have a lot of experiences. This will be brought into the company, and therefore from that, at least we anticipate a lot of improvement, which I cannot see how it will work. I cannot give you a figure on that. And of course, we will have a closer look into logistics, as we have experiences in big sea ship volumes, the others as well. And I'm quite convinced that the knowledge that they have in logistics can also improve our own knowledge for the logistics transportation systems in Europe or to Southeast Asia, where? What was the fourth question? First question, Mr. Kors, once again, it was such a big echo, I didn't get it.
Yeah, the first question, actually, the CapEx budget of SPL for the years to come.
CapEx. On CapEx?
Yeah.
We will have a big specific issue, which has already started, that is building up of a second port facility that will double the capacity more or less of ship transportation of the supply chain. This will cost about $11 to $12 million. And besides that, I would assume it's around five, six or so. It depends on that what we see and on what we anticipate shall be done. Not only in Chile, but also in Brazil. I would say 5 to 6 or so. It's a rule of thumb which you can trust on.
Okay, and that would increase the overall capacity to...
The 12 for the second loading facility will increase the facility. One can discuss how it is really. I would say from 5, a little bit more is the capacity of the loading facility today, and the other one from the technical standpoint is quite similar, so that one can double the capacity. But the main aspect for that building up is a different one. Dr. Bethke has already mentioned that. For the time being, the company has to pay a lot of demurrage. That means they have to pay as they are not able to load the ships as one is being loaded and others are waiting. And with the second loading facility, that can vanish more or less to 100%. So that the demurrage cost, which is connected with that, can be reduced quite close to zero. And also from that standpoint, there is a big improvement in the earnings of the company, not to talk about increase of let's say, of sales.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Schiessler?
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Thomas Scheissel. Please state your company name, followed by your question.
Mr. Schiessler, hello.
Hallo, meine Herren. Ja, erstmal herzlichen Glückwunsch zu dem Deal. Congratulations on the deal making. Three questions, if I may. One on the currency hedge. You just mentioned that there might be a change in the overall policy because you will gain a natural hedge if it comes to exposure to US dollar. Could you be a little bit more specific on your way you would like to deal with it? This is the one question. The second is there, if it comes to the concession of the SPL mining facility, is there any termination of the concession you have to gain from the state of Chile? Uh-huh. Third question is on the Asian expansion. If I do understand it rightly, there is almost none export to this Far East Asia region. So do you have to start from grassroots on to deliver to the Far East markets, or is there any small structure already in place? And if so, how quick will you be in erecting and further developing the Asian market? Thank you.
Okay. First question going to the currency situation. I don't see that there is a natural hedge, of course. 80% of the net sales are done in dollar, but they are coming from the Chilean peso region. And it is not going from the dollar region into the euro region. This would be, under my understanding, a natural hedge. Mm-hmm. We have not yet finished our discussions and our plannings for that hedging situation. We can improve that as we can bring along our experiences there. But to be open, we had a lot to do to reach that state that we can inform the public about the signing of the contract, and therefore we will, of course, need some further time to study in more detail the links between Chile, United States, Brazil, United States, and therefore set up a proper instrument of currency hedging. So when we will see each other next time in autumn, I will certainly be able to tell you more, but please take it as it is. We are studying. We don't have a finalized concept so far. Second question was going to the concessions. Yes, you have to look to that. The concession is always given for a certain period of time. That means 1 or 2 years, if I'm informed correctly. There's a certain smaller payment of some pesos for the prolongation of that. And this has been done by the company properly through all the past times, and we will look for that with the same eye, that we do not, I say that, I quote unquote, lose any concession. So this is not limited that the concession will go back to the state of Chile in, I take a figure, 2010 or 2020. As long as you follow the law, you have the concession for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Three of your questions was Asia. The company so far has not shipped to too many tons of salt to the Asia. You have to keep in mind that the owners, the present owners of the company, have taken over FPL only 5 years ago, roughly, and they had to develop the company. In that time before they took over, it was more or less a sleeping beauty, which they have, which they have kissed right now, and it's very alive. And therefore, they have concentrated on building up the business positions in South America and North America, and have not looked too intensively to Southeast Asia. Nowadays, let's say starting one and a half year ago, they have started with that. They have agreements with some organizations, some bigger organizations in some countries of Asia, Japan, India, others, that shall conduct business in those countries. But in the last years, I would say it is going to turn around. The transportation cost from Chile to Southeast Asia was quite expensive, and they did not want to go that way down. But together with the second port facility, you have to see it as well. They have extra load capacity. In the past years, they have produced and have sold everything that they had, more or less, to their domestic markets, to the United States, and there were more or less no spare capacities left for the transportation to Southeast Asia. This will change now, or with the construction of that loading facility that should be available mid of 2007. And then we can look quite more intensely to Southeast Asia.
May I add some words? There's interesting concept behind this. As you know, there's this shipping company, Emprimar, and there's a concept of back freights, Asia, Chile, and vice versa. As you might know, there's coal coming in from Asia to Chile, and so you can ship perhaps salt back to Asia. And that's a concept that's studied for the time being, but it's strongly linked to the expansion of the harbor capacity.
And there is no constraints to foreign trade if it comes to exports from Chile to the Northern Hemisphere or to the Asian Hemisphere out of Chile. So there is no trade constraints in tons or in value.
Chile is highly developed in bilateral relationships to several countries. There's contracts to China, for example, to India, to several other states, and for example, the U.S. We discussed this question in due diligence, of course. U.S. is highly depending on ore and copper and so on from Chile, so there's almost
free trade
between Chile and nationwide, worldwide countries.
Perhaps I can add only one figure, which we discovered also during due diligence. There are shipped now around about 8 million tons, a little bit less, I think, alone from Mexico to Asian markets. So there is already a big flow of material from Latin America to Asian markets. Asian markets are already used to receive quantities from Latin America. So I think when the time has come, as Mr. Steiner outlined, when all the preconditions are done in the next 2-3 years, I think, then I think we might find relatively quickly access to interesting area there and market there. And don't forget, in some of those countries, we have already sales and marketing platforms for our potash and our nitrogen fertilizer business.
Indeed. Yeah, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Oliver Schwartz. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hello, this is Oliver Schwartz from Dresdner Kleinwort. Congratulations to your acquisition. Could you please elaborate a bit on the volume development? As I see it, from 2003 to 2005, there have been large fluctuations in terms of volume. And Secondly, looking at the tax rate, this one seems to be a bit bumpy too. Could you please elaborate on the tax rate you think you'll get from the acquisition or the impact?
Okay, question number one pertaining to the sales volume. You are correct that there is a certain change in the figures going down from 6.8 in 2003 to 5.1, now rising to 5.8 again in 2005. This goes back, as we have understood, to a policy which was in 2003 more or less taking advantage of all possibilities of selling salt into the United States that they could get, not looking for prices. And that was in a time where transportation costs were rather low, where we had not seen that big increase that we have from 2004 onwards, where they were able to use the Mississippi River system to ship also material via the Mississippi River into parts of America. And together with the increase of the logistical sea freight and the transportation costs on the inland river system in the United States, this was not economically feasible anymore. Therefore, the reduction as they withdrew from the Mississippi River system, and of course, in other to other aspects, they were more looking to increase, to improve the quality, to improve the quality of the result, not only shipping and shifting as much material as possible into the market. They were much more aware of better prices, and this resulted also in a much better ratio from the sales figures to the earnings. So it was from 2003 to 2004 a reduction that was done deliberately into two aspects. One, reduction of volume with respect to transportation costs, and number two, improvement of sales prices into the icing salt systems, in particular the East Coast. With respect to taxes, we have, of course, to be aware of the fact that taxes in Chile are 17% and in the United States 40%. You certainly know that the business of SPL has to observe several rules coming from the Internal Revenue Code in the United States and from the IRS, always looking for comparable prices, and therefore you always have to see what your comparable benchmark companies do. And that can change the prices, the transfer prices from Chile to the United States. We have seen that it cannot be predicted how it will develop. Might the prices go up, might the prices also be in position to go down. Therefore, we will always have a mixture between 17 and 40%, but I am not in a position right now to tell you our expectations for 2006 or the next year. It is somewhere in between, but I cannot do it more precise.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you once again. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Thomas Schiesel. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Thank you for taking my question again. Question on the functional structure of the business. Who will be responsible in the Vorstand for the business in the future? And I think Dr. Bethke mentioned it already in his remarks. There is up to now there is no decision made yet. If it comes to IT integration, but I guess that's one of utmost integration concern. So is there any alternative, changing from SAP to another system? And why is this still on hold, this decision? Thank you.
Perhaps, Mr. Schiesler, I can ask you, I can answer the first question, who is responsible? This is Mr. Steiner and Mr. Mielke and the new gentleman who will now come to our SOAR team, and I cannot see any big changes so far. Mr. Steiner?
Yeah. To be a little bit more precise, we have a business division SOAR, and today it comprises EFCO, and in the future it will comprise EFCO and SPL as the companies in the all their business led by that international coordination group. And what with respect to the board of directors, Mr. Bittke has given to the answer. Second question pertaining to IT. What we wanted to express is that we have not yet decided whether we will fully integrate FPL on our so-called IT platform that we have built up during the last year. We can see that, of course, many links are necessary that will be built up. We have to integrate the company on reporting requirements and so on and so forth. But we will not directly go into the company with our very big IT platform and say, this is this, you have to take over, whether they need it or not. And therefore, we will analyze more in depth the requirements of the company, and then we will put in place only those types of links which we need for the reporting requirements and for the purposes of conducting the business. Not in every respect, so it is more or less a step-by-step approach, but of course you are completely right. We cannot dare to let the company flow on their own IT systems without having linked that IT system to us. And so far, we were very happy to see that just recently the company changed over to some of these IT tools from SAP that we have in place, and therefore the link between us, K+S Group, and the company should be relatively easy. But no doubt about what we need will be done.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Martin Rodiger. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, hello. This is Martin Rodiger from Chevrolet, Frankfurt. Two questions, if I may. First of all, it seems to me that SPL has a clearly lower productivity compared to the salt business of K+S, because you both have more or less the same production in terms of tons in volume, but the sales figure of K+S salt business is 40% higher than the sales figure of SPL. What is the background for that? The second reason, the EBIT margin of SPL is just roughly 14% in 2005, while your salt business generated roughly 16% EBIT margin last year. And could you explain why is that the case? Because you mentioned that SPL has a very attractive cost structure. And finally, if you have solved the problem at the harbor in Chile, that means the deep bottlenecking, do you think that SPL has the potential to show clearly higher margins than your current salt business? Thanks.
You follow the company, we have been following the company since a lot of years, and you know that all the time when we talk about salt, I'm telling you there is a so-called normal salt business and an extraordinary salt business. That means we are doing our planning for our ESCO business on the average of the last 10 years and with respect to the icing salt. And you know that in particular the year of 2005 was extremely positively influenced by the very good the icing salt business in the beginning and the end of the year. The 62 points for Tessit, we have 7 million EBIT, is not, should be normal, or I would hope that it is normal, but we cannot guarantee for that you know. And therefore, if we compare the so-called normal salt here of CAPLS, which we so far have not seen under ESCO, with the situation in SPL, I would not say that SPL is much lower than CAPLS. Therefore, please don't forget that. And these high sales of the icing salt that we have had all the years before contributed to the EBIT margin of 60% in relation to 40% of SPL. What we have seen is so far that the volatility of the icing salt, salt business in the United States was smaller than the volatility here in Europe, and we had different seasonalities, although in North America, United States is located on the northern hemisphere. And we have in mind that in a normal year, SPL will contribute a nice EBIT margin, will contribute a high productivity. That is, of course, related to the fact that we have a lot of specialties in our company with higher prices, with higher margins, which is not yet the case in SPL, but what we like to extend. We see water softening potential in other markets and so on and so forth. And therefore, it is a little bit difficult to compare productivity, EBIT margin between the companies as of today, as their business models were different, as the variety of products was completely different, and as K+S was very much supported in the last years by these very, very favorable weather conditions in winter. And therefore, we always had in mind to balance the business within the K+S group as it was up to date, between salt and potash, potash and salt, potash and compo, and so on and so forth. And we can even better balance and add significant further EBIT contributions to the business in general and to the salt business in particular, having SPL on board. This is my answer to all your three questions.
Thanks.
Mr. Rüdiger, may I perhaps add one thing? We did not buy this company only for the next 2-3 years, you understand. And I think we explained already that we see further possibilities on short term to further optimize also the margins when it comes to the Americas, but long term and midterm, the growth prospects of that company on that low cost basis are much better than here in Europe.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Richard Schramm. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a short clarification on this investment program you have mentioned. It's correct that I noted down that you plan 11 to 12 million US dollars for this part project plus an additional 5 to 6 million US dollars per year for, let's say, normal capital expenditure, and can you elaborate on when this part expansion then will be fully available? So obviously then we have enough capacity for the next years to come. And also second short question, could you give an indication about the volume of assets you are buying and the depreciation connected with that? Thank you.
I think I mentioned already that the expansion of the port, the building up of the second loading facility has been started recently and is planned to be available during summer, late summer 07, in order to have that port facility available for the shipment for the next de-icing season in the United States. I think this is a realistic figure, and therefore we trust that we will have that available in that period of time. That means July, August, September 07. And then we will fall back, of course, to that figure between 5 and 6 or so. But we have to see what our plan, being the owner of the company will be, and what we always do within the K+S group is, if we have ideas for projects of CapEx that has a high return on investment, we will not wait and hold it back, and then it could be also the case that this rule of thumb will not be applied, that we have a higher investment. But of course, it could be also the other way around, that we go back to 3 or 4 if there is no need for higher CapEx. The second question, the assets. Yes, you have seen the picture, and you see that the hardware connected with the activities is not that way that you have already seen from our potash and salt activities, and therefore you can see that the assets, the fixed assets that we will purchase are limited. And the consequence out of this is that we have a will have a significant goodwill. But please, this will be detected after we have done our interim report and we have done our closing. So far, I would not go into more detail, if you allow.
Thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. Thank you, gentlemen. We have no further questions.
Yeah, thank you very much, then.
Thank you very much from Kassel as well.
Thanks.